This intro story comes out of Lad Bible and was written by Carissa Bossinakis. Yes.
Oh, Bossinakis.
Yeah, that was pronounced. A mother has had the most absurd baby name approved for her newborn son. ABC journalist Kirsten Drysdale, a presenter for WTFAQ, a series answering all your burning questions, began investigating what you can legally change your baby's name to. The journalist quizzed the New South Wales Registry of Births, Deaths and Marriages on the topic, but left unclear on precisely what a prohibited name is, so she made the matter personal. After she welcomed her third child with her husband Chris, Drysdale decided to test the registry and name her newborn Methamphetamine Rules. And to her horror, the name was approved.
To her horror.
I don't know how it slipped through, Drysdale told news.com. I'm not sure if someone was overworked or if it was automated somewhere. Or possibly, maybe they thought methamphetamine was a Greek name. They haven't really given us a clear answer. The intern was definitely driving the ship that day. The New South Wales Registry of Births, Deaths and Marriages has since admitted to the mother the approval for the bold name was a mishap. Thankfully, Drysdale has managed to change her baby's name finally. Baby Meth's real name, I'm not publicly disclosing it because I don't want it to be attached to this, she added. It's a beautiful name and I can tell you it has nothing to do with Class A drugs. A spokesperson for New South Wales Births, Deaths and Marriages also told the outlet that following the incident, it has tightened the baby name approval process to ensure that nothing like this happens again. Yeah, the registry has since strengthened the process in response to the highly unusual event, the spokesperson said. You're not allowed to call your baby any official ranks or titles in Australia, so forget Sir, Captain, Chief, Duke, King, Admiral, Madam, Lady, Queen, Princess, Duchess, etc. Also, no insults such as swear words, slurs, symbols, descriptions of sexual acts, or religious names such as God or Christ. And atheists aren't able to call their children Satan or Lucifer.
Oh, that's a bummer.
Either.
Wait, what about Jesus? That's a pretty common name.
You're gonna have to test it with births, deaths, and marriages, Lockie. Clearly. There you go.
That's all I'm saying is there's a lot of Jesuses out there, so.
Yeah.
You know. Is this something that usually happens with in Australia? Because like here in Portugal, it's really strict. You cannot name your baby whatever you want. But I know that, for instance, in Brazil, you can give the most preposterous names, and it's really funny, and I love it. Does this happen normally in Australia? Is it a thing?
Oh, I'm sure there's a certain group of people out there, probably quite young parents.
Trying to name weird stuff to their babies.
Well, that's the thing. I'm sure there's so much stuff that you could do that would just be ridiculous and they probably wouldn't pick it up. Like, I'm sure I'd be able to name my firstborn Thrill House, which, to be honest, not that bad a name. I could probably do a lot worse.
Yeah, it's not as bad as methamphetamines.
Well, okay.
I think anything's better than methamphetamine.
I mean,
as a baby name. Oh, dear.
If it didn't mean drug, I think meth would be a nice name. A cool name.
Meth.
Or a cool nickname.
It's like Beth, but with an M. I get
exactly.
What you mean.
Bless this meth. I don't know. I'm thinking of Mephistopheles. Mephisto, the demon, the lying demon in the Faustian play.
Yeah.
I was thinking of that too, Lockie, yes.
Yeah, I think Mephistopheles is quite a nice name. It really rolls off the tongue.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm also smart. Yeah, I agree. Hello! Welcome to News to Reviews, your place to be for gaming news stories, and also your place to be for impressions on the latest games coming out each and every week. My name is Zach, and I'm here with my co-host,
Lachlan.
Lachlan. Wow, so formal. Wow. That. I normally only get called Lachlan when it's a professional setting, and usually when someone's disappointed in me.
Oh, well, then I shan't ever call you Lachlan, because you never disappoint me. You're the co-host with the most.
Thank you.
Oh. How you doing tonight, Lockie?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well. I've got my coffee to get us through the night shift for news to reviews, and I'm keen to hear what's going on in the news this week. Probably good stuff, right?
It's actually like it's interesting news, but nothing that's going to make your blood boil for once. So that's always good to know when it comes to the gaming news.
Well, let's see about that. Yeah, let's see about that. Cause, you know, if it's about Ubisoft.
Oh, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, Ubisoft does get a mention, so maybe your blood will boil. But I know my blood won't be boiling, because I'm super stoked to have a fantastic guest on this week. Yes, that's it. So, 3 weeks in a row, we had the guest fall through, but finally, someone wants to talk to us.
Yay!
Torja, thank you so much for returning to the show.
Hey, it's always a pleasure. Always happy to be back. And yeah, you guys paid me well to like not fall through this week. So I'm here.
Please don't say that.
I'm joking. Do not set
that expectation. Yeah, we don't have money. We don't make money from this.
Yeah, no, it's just because it's a pleasure, and that's why I'm here, and I'm keen to talk about games.
Thank you so much for being here. How have you been, Torja?
I'm good. Still, like, haven't been streaming, though. I stopped that for a bit. Don't know if I'll come back to it, but yeah, I'm just playing some chill games every once in a while, and yeah, but I'm here.
Yeah. How come you're taking the break from streaming? Just is it like a time thing, or you're just getting sick of it? Wasn't what you were thinking?
Where other streamers keep challenging you to debates. Going,
yeah,
debate me,
that's
bro.
It.
Fucking debate.
No, yeah. I finished Chain Deco's, and I was a bit torn about what I should play next on stream, so I stopped a bit. Mm. But then life became crazy, and yeah, work stuff. So yeah, I just didn't restart. But yeah, maybe
that's totally fair. We do this stuff because we love it. If it's like a detriment to us, or it's too hard to maintain proper actual life stuff, then yeah, that's the thing that's gotta take a backseat for a little while.
Yeah, but it was super fun, and if anyone wants to try it, I definitely recommend it. It's just not the time for me now, but I hope it will be again eventually.
Yes. Well, you know what it is time for, Torja? If you like a podcast, if you enjoy it, please leave a rating or review wherever you happen to be listening to it, because that's the easiest way you can help them out, get into the ears of more peeps, and just really makes them feel real nice and warm and fuzzy on the inside. Lockie, are you okay?
What's happening?
You hated that little little rating and review plug there. Was that was it a bit too saucy for you? What?
He's just sick of hearing
it. No response. Okay. Okay. All right. No, I don't know what I've done to Lockie. I think I've broken him. How about we just get moving on to the gaming news? Hopefully this brings you back, Lockie. This is an interesting story. So we're basically going back to the story from last week about Unity and the whole runtime fee thing, where they're going to start charging people per install and the whole big fucking mess that was. Apologies to everyone who listened to last week's episode. I don't think I did the best job of covering all aspects of that. I recommend going to listen to the Inconsolables.
It's a lot.
Andrew's a programmer, and he knows what he's fucking talking about. And, you know, and Sammy Deej also has worked in development, so they definitely did a far better job at covering the whole situation than I did. But basically, anyway, Unity has responded and sort of walked back some of their shit. This article comes out of gamesindustry.biz and was written by Brendan Sinclair. Unity has unveiled its planned changes to the controversial runtime fee policy that would charge developers fees on a per-install basis. Unity creator President Mark Whitten detailed the changes in a blog post, starting with the removal of the runtime fee for any games built on a Unity personal license. Additionally, the company is changing some of the Unity personal terms. Previously, personal accounts were only for developers who had less than $100,000 in revenue or funds raised in the previous year, but that's been upped to $200,000. Also, Unity personal developers will no longer have to feature the Made with Unity splash screen on their work. Unity Pro and Unity Enterprise developers are being given the option of avoiding the runtime fee in favor of a 2.5% revenue share for the company based on the developer's self-reported revenues. Unity says if a developer takes that option and the revenue share works out to more than what the runtime fee would have been based on the developer's self-reported new users, it will be the lesser amount. I hope that makes sense to everyone listening.
Not at all. I don't know. All of that sounded like ghouls and goblins, witches and witchcraft. No.
Well, one of the bigger things that I think really scared the shit out of everyone was there was a lot of retroactive changes. And so they said in another change to the plan, the runtime fee will no longer be retroactive. It will only apply to developers who ship their games using versions of Unity that ship in 2024 or later. So previously released titles and games that ship with the current version of the engine or earlier versions will be exempt from these changes. So it's not going to retroactively fuck everyone who's been using Unity earlier is basically
what they're saying. So what you're saying is the deal has changed again and we pray that it doesn't change again further.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And yeah, Lockie, you're actually like touching on what a lot of people have been saying. Like, yes, these changes are good, but how the fuck can we ever trust Unity again? Torja, do you think you can ever trust Unity again after this massive fuck up?
I don't know. Obviously, I'm not a game developer, and I don't know how many of these details translate to real life and game development. But yeah, the big thing for me was also the retroactive stuff. Like, imagine you're a small company and you're using Unity and all of a sudden, well, now you're going to get fucked. Surprise, surprise. So yeah, I think that's a very important change if they plan to, like, stick to this. But yeah, everyone was super angry about the Unity changes, so yeah.
Didn't the CEO, like, sell half their shares or something? I don't know.
Yeah,
you spoke about it last week.
Allegedly, yeah, they sold like 1,000 shares the week before or something like that.
Yeah.
So allegedly reported by other people.
Yeah, reported by other people, probably Kotaku.
I think you hit the nail on the head with what you said before, Lockie. You know, like, I totally agree. I think that's the biggest thing to come from all of this, even though maybe they've going to make these changes and people might be okay with this now, but yeah, how can you ever trust them? Like, what's to say they're not gonna later on down the track do another weird terms of service change? It's the idea that you could sign a contract saying this is the terms of your use of this thing and then it can change in the future, like your signatures on something that's changed in the future. That's fucking wild. And I think it does say in the terms of service that they can just change it at any point, but I don't think that holds up legally. Think about the amount of times you have to keep signing terms of services if they change enough for different online things that you use.
I think you're right. I think, like, yeah, while they can include it in their contracts, legal enforceability will ultimately boil down to the laws of the country the contracts are made in. So, you know, you could be right. I don't know enough about that, but it just, hopefully that isn't the case, because it does sound unconscionable, because how can you plan as a business or a human being for that matter, entering into, you know, utilizing a company service and then potentially getting hit with all these fines and fees 1,000 years down the line because they say, no, this contract says we can.
Yeah.
I don't know. It just doesn't sound tenable. If society were structured in such a way, I think it would be complete chaos. So I don't think it's something generally courts would support if they had any sort of control over it.
Yeah, absolutely. I look at it like the big cyberpunk kerfuffle. Like, yeah, cyberpunk is fixed.
Which one?
Yeah, well, the initial one, the release and all of that. Even though cyberpunk's better now and, you know, CD Projekt Red have made good games such as The Witcher 3 in the past, the trust has been eroded now. And no matter what, when they do release a new title, I'm always going to be very skeptical before I ever actually get the thing in my hands. And I think the same thing can be said here with Unity. There's forever now, so many developers are going to look at Unity and then think twice about signing on. And apparently, like, there's some other competing sort of development app, that development program that has seen their numbers just shoot up after all this. And obviously, Unreal is obviously one of the massive winners in all of this as well, too. So, it's curious to see that this will shake out for Unity.
Do you think this could be one of those cases where, like, it wouldn't be a really good idea, but we're going to offer you a very bad deal and then we're going to change our deal just because you guys, we like the consumers, we like you guys, so we listen to you. So, yeah, we made some changes to our initial deal.
Ask for 90% when really you want 70% to try and have that wiggle room when negotiating. Maybe. It seems like they fucked up with that calculation because their stock price got fucked.
I think they're done because I don't think they were, you know, particularly big. I think they had a niche market before this, and I think they've already burnt the big hitters, which would probably be Niantic with Pokemon. So I can't imagine them doing this fuckery. We'll have Nintendo having them in their strategies moving forward. You know, Nintendo's pretty sensitive, allegedly. About, you know, sort of legal issues and feeling like they're getting cheated through, like, you know, someone does some unlicensed shit online and slaps a Pikachu on it. You better believe that, you know, they'll be caught on that shit.
Yeah,
they'll get it taken down or what have you. But, imagine if you're a company that has some sort of business relationship and agreement with them, all signed and agreed to, and then years down the line, they come up to Nintendo saying, hey, we've decided that you actually owe us, $100 million based on all of your sales of Pokemon games.
Yeah.
Pretty sure Nintendo will go, well, first of all, eat shit. And second of all, we're going to come at you with all of the lawyers. All of the planet's lawyers will be going after you now to legal you.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yep. And you know what? Something like that happened, it might cause some serious division in society. And Ubisoft has announced a new Division game, The Division 3.
It's You're the master happening. Of segues, Zach.
You're oh my god, and also segue. It's the opposite of Unity.
Oh, that's true. Oh, there you go. That worked out fantastic. So, yeah, apparently it's going to be worked on by Ubisoft Massive, the same people who are working on Star Wars Outlaws and Far Cry Pandora Express. What's it called? Frontiers of Pandora.
Yeah.
Yes, the Far Cry Avatar game.
Starfield.
No, not Starfield.
Avatar Starfield.
Anyway.
The Avatar The Last Starfield.
So, yeah, they're also working on The Division 3, apparently. Or it is they haven't started work. There's no word on that, but it's coming eventually. Torjar, do you care? Division 3.
I do not care. End of sentence.
Oh, dear.
Lockie? No.
Look, I kind of care because I care about Aaron, and I know he's got a hard on, an irrational hard on, in my opinion, for Ubisoft. So he'll be quite keen on this. So I hope it's a good release and works for him. The thing, I've tried to give Division a go and it's all right, but there's just some things, particularly for a PC type game, that annoy me. And one of them is that it doesn't support the super scaling, you know, the upscaling technology either through DLSS or that other one that AMD does, which I find weird and I don't like it. And games need to stop releasing like that because It's not well made enough and well optimized enough to not need that.
Yeah. I think I'm a fan of the Division. Like, I don't... Look, I wouldn't say I love it. It's not my favorite of the looter shooters. Borderlands is still my favorite of those types of games. The Division 2, I had a lot of fun playing through that one with Hunter. It was a pretty fun looter shooter. The story may as well not exist, but the shooting and bang bang guns go off is pretty fun.
Well, maybe the real entertainment was the friends you made along the way. Because exactly, I didn't play with any friends and I wasn't all that
Who knew the Division could bring us all together? So
Assassin's Creed Unity.
I'll probably play through the Division 3 with Hunter and maybe Aaron if he's down. He might pick it up on PlayStation, and I'll probably have a pretty okay time with it. My only issue with this story is that Ubisoft Massive are already working on Star Wars Outlaws and this fucking Far Cry Pandora game. What the fuck? Like, how the fuck can they be working on three AAA titles at once? Ubisoft right now are just doing so much stuff. There's like 10 Assassin's Creed titles in the works right now. There's Mirage right around the corner. I don't know. I've got a bad feeling about this. It just seems like way too much, even with the size and scope that Ubisoft is.
That's a good point. Yeah. And they really need to get Mirage right as well, because... Assassin's Creed is sort of like at a crossroads where, I don't know, I think people are sort of checked out on it. So if they're trying to go back to basics, basically redo the first one and sort of get that excitement again, I don't know, they really need to knock it out of the park. And I just don't think that their last couple of releases have quite done that.
Yeah, I don't think this will be the big change up. I feel like it's just going to be a stripped back modern version of what we already have, if that makes sense.
To be everything honest, I think saw, so as well.
Yeah, everything I think I've so seen as in well. The gameplay has looked... Like, there was not anything new that I saw other than like one kind of animation to get around the city. That was about it. Yeah, so I don't think this
they're
going to
do Assassin's Creed in space, surely.
I'd play that. Fuck it. Make an Avatar Assassin's Creed game.
Well, yeah, that's what, surely that's what they're going to do, because then they can do it in different world settings and, you know, different biomes, because we all love our little alien biomes.
Gotta have biomes.
Can do an ice planet and a fire planet and a desert planet. That's about it, because we don't have any ideas.
Well, you know who has some ideas? Microsoft. And we found out about a lot of those ideas recently. It is a return of our favorite segment, Somebody's Leaking. And now this is going to be our biggest amount of leakage ever. So get one of those like inflatable pools, people, and put that around you. This is going to be like a hot
get
tub
a bucket
stream.
And a mop.
So much leakage. So much leakage. This is our biggest story of the week. So basically, obviously, we all know all the fucking FTC, Microsoft acquisition, Activision Blizzard bullshit that's going on and that I'm sick of talking about and everyone's sick of hearing about and all that. Well, we got some leaks from there. There was apparently some stuff that wasn't, that I don't know, someone got their hands on that shouldn't have got it through this court case and just released it everywhere, including like emails between Phil Spencer and high up executives discussing some high level shit, including, well, the following. So this write up comes out of Kotaku, and I definitely recommend going and checking out the article, because I didn't include everything from it, but it was written by Claire Jackson. And the first and probably the most crazy thing to come out of these leaks is that Microsoft was considering buying Nintendo. So in the leaked emails, Phil Spencer and Microsoft personnel discussed a possible acquisition of Nintendo.
Considering.
At some point...
All competitors are always considering how they can beat their other competitors. Yeah. And I'm sure acquisitions is always looked into. Mm. And then they realize, we would have to pay the fucking moon for it.
It would be super interesting if it happened, but... hey.
I don't think Nintendo's for sale, but they would throw like a figureware just so astronomically high that no one would be able to meet it.
Well, I feel like their market cap isn't even actually that high. Like, it's probably, it might even be less than Activision's Nintendo market cap. Anyway, while I'm looking that up, I'll just continue.
Not from Microsoft, because I think, because I reckon there's international like clout as well that sort of ties into it, because it's a Japanese-owned company. It's one of their biggest ones, so I don't know. I don't think it's for sale, but if it were, they would need to, America would need to give Japan Alaska or something.
Yeah. But like Nintendo and Microsoft have such different ways of working. It would be interesting at least to see how it would work. Like Nintendo is exclusivity all the way. Microsoft releases games on Game Pass day one, so...
Yeah,
that would be interesting.
That would be a huge game changer. I mean, like, finally Microsoft would have a reason for people to go over to their platforms.
Yeah.
So, that you know, that would be a massive shift to what they currently have at the moment.
Yeah.
Well, Phil Spencer continued saying, at some point, getting Nintendo would be a career moment. Yeah, I bet it would.
It would be.
Yeah.
He speculated that the Japanese games giant could become more open to acquisitions offers in the future due to changing pressures on its board of directors. It's just taking a long time for Nintendo to realize that their future exists.
They're just waiting for CEOs to die, basically, at this point. That's their overall plan. They're just waiting for the death of their current board of directors. Phil Spencer, what a character.
Apparently, the emails also reveal that Microsoft thought about purchasing Valve and Warner Brothers games as well, too. Pretty wild.
Yeah.
I don't know. Warner Brothers games, I mean, they do well, but I feel like do they make money?
Yeah.
Hey, they've got some seriously massive licenses. They've got they don't have Lord of the Rings. I think they sold the game license of that to... Embracer Group, but they've got, you know, DC.
The one that did Gollum?
Yes. No, I think that Gollum was still under, was before Embracer, I think?
Yeah.
Maybe? I don't know. Anyway, they've got like DC, so that is a lot of shit right there. I don't know. Would have been interesting. I can't find Nintendo's stock price in US dollars is driving me nuts because it's all giving it to me in Japanese yen. I don't know, I'll figure it out later, whatever. But
let me put it this way. I was watching the Mortal Kombat 1 cinematic cutscenes together on YouTube, and I was thinking to myself many times, this looks incredible. This is really well put together. It sounds great. It's animated really well. This must have cost a lot of money. Why, and like, where is all this money coming from to just create 4 hours worth of cutscenes for a video game? Like, how can they afford this?
Yeah.
And do they feel that they need to do this in order to just sell their games? Like, I don't know. It just feels like the beast has gotten too big, and they're like, it's become like a major movies production studio sort of. Like, as a part of just releasing a $70 game. That's a lot.
People love them cinematics, man.
I love them too. But I love them as well. That's why I'm watching them for free on YouTube.
Exactly.
What I'm wondering is, what does Warner Brothers get out of this? Because it's not my money.
Look, yeah, I don't know. just for clarification, I finally got the price up. So it would be $53 billion. US dollars. That's the market cap of Nintendo. So they bought Activision Blizzard for $69 billion. So it's not outside of the realm of possibilities. I think it's more just Nintendo not wanting to do it. I don't know how the rules work. As far as I know, in the States they kind of have to do it because it's the best thing for the shareholders. So they like legally are obliged to do it. I don't know how it works in Japan. Interesting stuff there anyway, but more interesting stuff from all the leaks and bullshit is Bethesda might be working on an Oblivion remaster. Bethesda's roadmap was among the many recently released Xbox documents. It includes a sequel to Ghostwire Tokyo, a Dishonored 3, a remaster of Fallout 3, and the Elder Scrolls 4 Oblivion. Also, don't expect Elder Scrolls 6 for quite a while. Well, yeah, no shit. I didn't need a leak to tell me that one.
Although it would be nice if they just communicated that, you know. Just be honest with your fucking public. Instead of, like, you know, going, oh, maybe we'll find out more next year when they know fully well it's not even slated for the next 3 years, the lineup.
I'll have to keep us guessing.
Games industry marketers be lying. That's what they do. I get why they do it.
Maybe you'll get the Elder Scrolls 6 tomorrow. Maybe.
Torja, did any of those Bethesda titles and remasters there sound interesting to you, like Dishonored 3 or a new Ghostwire Tokyo?
Or one of the more interesting ones, perhaps.
I'm definitely excited to see the resurgence of Oblivion memes. That's one thing that I really enjoy.
Oh.
But yeah, I don't know. I'm a bit sick of remasters. Like, not every game needs a remaster. So, yeah, whatever.
Yeah. Although we did just get Starfield, and that kind of sucked. So, I don't know. I'm with you. I'm with you. I would say no remasters. I'd like new things. And But then they gave me new and it was terrible, so I don't know.
But was it terrible? Because I've heard mixed reviews. I've heard people liking
it. It's not terrible. It's just middle of the road, honestly. And
it's mid.
Yeah, and it just didn't tickle the funny bone for me. Yeah. I don't know.
It's good. It's flawed, but it's good. I've been having a really good time with it. I've put in like over 50 hours already. It's fucking crazy.
There you go.
And I just found something new that I fucking wish I discovered like so many hours ago, but I was so lost just doing random bullshit and it was so cool. And oh
my God, I feel that way about work all the time.
Well, I feel you, Torja. I am a bit sick of all the remasters and stuff. Like, if it was a Fallout 3 remake, I'd be kind of interested in that. Like, Fallout 3, but you don't have to load every 2 seconds. That'd be pretty cool. But remaster, it was already not a very good-looking game when it came out. They definitely sacrificed the visual quality for the scale. I couldn't imagine just remastering it. It's so old. It's like 2000s, like, fuck me. Remake.
That's why you do remasters, I guess. they don't want to, like, put in the effort of doing a remake, or I don't know.
They're so good. Look at Dead Space remake. It was great.
What I would like with these remasters, and I feel like it's achievable, is not just the remaster and being able to play it, but, like, adding something new as well. Like, while we're at it, while we have the money, let's do an expansion-esque new to it.
But that's more like a remake, isn't it?
Yeah,
we're discussing semantics.
But like what I'm suggesting is that they just properly like remaster the game, but they add on like a fucking new expansion with whatever graphics they've got on the table that they use for the remaster. They just do something new, just something a little bit extra, just fucking something that isn't the same thing I've seen over and over and over again.
And also there's games that people make mods with better graphics, so you can just use the mod and you have it.
Yeah.
You have a remaster.
you're right. And I don't know. It's... It's a shitty cash grab. This is why it happens. They know it's a guaranteed sort of, you know, sales thing. But what I would wish is that it just wasn't so cynical and they actually did put in a modicum of just some sort of breathing new creativity or life into it, you know?
Oh, well, speaking of being creatively bankrupt, the other thing that came out of the leak was... Microsoft seemed to have anticipated an Xbox Series X and S port of Red Dead Redemption 2 in 2022. I love you, remaster. I love you. Have to trust me, remaster.
I love you, remaster.
Hell, if Red Dead 2, if there was a PS5 version, I'd play it. I'm not going to lie. It was a really good game. If I could play it at 60 FPS, even if it wasn't better quality, like visually, I'd still play it.
Yeah, no, I'm part of the problem. Rockstar. Yeah, fuck Rockstar. I just... Yeah, after their Grand Theft Auto trilogy disaster, this is just more bullshit coming from them. Well, it's gross because they have made so much money. There's so much money in their greedy goblin caves, and they keep doing this shit. So I don't know. It's borderline malicious behavior towards their consumer. They're just outwardly spiteful.
Yeah.
Well, Microsoft expected this to happen in 2022, and clearly that didn't happen. So maybe it's still in the works and still could possibly happen. I don't know.
That's right. We're talking about leaks, so they never confirmed it. Maybe someone with like a shred of decency said, oh, maybe let's not do that.
Seriously doubt it. That's just far
too. Well, something happened because it wasn't unveiled, so...
Maybe they stopped it to work on the port for Red Dead 1 or something, which we got.
Yeah, maybe they're trying to design it so you can play it on your phone and they'll charge you $1,000 of in-game currency.
Torja, would you play a slightly better version of Red Dead 2 if it comes out? You want to love Dutch?
Would you pay $80 just so it unlocks the frames per second on your PC, Red Dead Redemption 2? Because that's all they're going to do.
The thing with Red Dead is it's a game I like watching someone play, but I'm not sure if it would be a game for me because of all that, like, small tasks that you have to do, like, that take a long time.
Yeah, it's very, what do you call it? I find it menial, like, very...
It feels like a job.
You know, hold A for 1,000 hours to pull your gun out of your holster and then holster it onto your horse and then pet your horse to calm it down so it doesn't get too stressed out and then eat a can of beans because in all of that time you are now hungry.
Yeah. Yep. So, yeah, I really like Red Dead Redemption 2 as, like, I like that it exists. And I like watching people play, but it's not a game for me.
I am exactly like you. I loved watching and listening to my brother play it.
Yeah.
Because I love the cutscenes. I think it's a beautifully crafted story and just gorgeous looking game. But it's just such a shitty game to play because of those... Everything feels like it's surging. Like your character feels like he's loping forward and you can feel... I keep making this joke, but you feel... hell, I'll do it again. You can feel the arthritis in all of his joints when he fucking jumps. It's...
Yeah, I don't want that. I want to feel
it's
like...
too realistic.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't want to feel like me.
Exactly.
Is my issue.
I don't want realism. Yeah. That kind of realism in my video games.
Exactly. I can just stand up and feel and listen to the crunching in my knees myself. I don't need that game to simulate that.
I could feel the... tuberculosis.
Yeah, that was... Yeah.
Not good. And you know what else isn't good? The thought of consoles going all digital, and we had some details leak about a updated Xbox Series X as well. So, yeah, we didn't just get scans of emails from very serious people. We also got some images and details of possible forthcoming hardware, including a cylindrical-shaped Xbox Series X that won't include a disk drive. The codename Brooklyn, the leaked data, indicates that the possible hardware refresh will include more internal storage, faster Wi-Fi, reduced power, and a more immersive controller. So the first Xbox that isn't going to be a box... It's going to be like an X cylinder.
Cylinder, yeah.
I sent the pictures of it in the Discord chat so you can look at it in all its cylindrical glory. Torja, it's a circular Xbox. Is this the thing that's finally going to get you to buy one? Was it the edges of the box that kept you out this whole time?
No.
Or would you call it excessive?
Oh.
No. What keeps me from buying an Xbox is that I have a PC. So I don't think that will happen.
Good answer. Good answer. And have enough money lying around for an Xbox X, get a PC. What the fuck?
I'm like having a PlayStation and a PC, like it covers everything that I want.
Exactly. It does everything an Xbox can do, but also a shit ton more.
Yeah. And with the going discless...
You can type up your resume on it in really nice font.
Exactly. So with the going discless, like, I have mixed feelings about this because, like, environment and all of that, so maybe it's good. But also I've also heard that going all digital turns out not that good for the environment. Because of servers and stuff like that, I don't know. We would have. I cannot explain it to you. But
interesting. So the theory is that server increase will outweigh, you know, box factories or whatever.
Well, I guess, but don't take it from me. I don't. I don't know. The intricacies. Yeah.
It's an interesting thought. Interesting thought.
I heard about that with like cryptocurrency. You know, the people using computers to mine crypto uses tons of energy. So I don't know, maybe running these servers, holding all of our user data, does the same. I don't know.
I'm not sure if this is true. I'm not sure if this is true, but I think I read that somewhere, but I'm not sure.
Allegedly. We are not a news allegedly. Show.
But yeah, it definitely sucks for gamers because you maybe want to trade that game in and you cannot do it if it's digital.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Loki? Mm-hmm. Loki, cylindrical Xbox. Oh. No disc.
Oh,
what are your thoughts? You're here, aren't you? Yes!
My name's Loki.
Oh, sorry.
It said Loki.
Yeah, okay. Loki.
For a second, I thought you were the whimsical, mischievous god from Norse mythology.
Norse. Yep, thank you.
Sorry.
Well, now I've lost my train of thought. Thank you.
Cylindrical Xbox, no disc. Go.
Cylindrical Xbox. It's not a box anymore.
Exactly.
They've lost their way. Microsoft, what are you doing? You're staring at the mirror and you can't even recognize yourself. My God. What I'm wondering is because it's such a marked delineation from their Xbox regime, let's say, are they going to change it to an Xbox Series Z? Or are they going to go completely off script and like call it Xbox Alpha?
Or O, because it's a circle.
Yeah, or Omega. Either.
Or that.
Or they could release one in black and one in white and do it Alpha or Omega. And there will guaranteed be some people out there that will pay money for both.
No, it's Microsoft. So they're going to do something that's just as confusing as possible.
Yeah.
So it's like they're just going to call it the Xbox Series S again, but this time with a lowercase s, and that's how they differentiate it between the two.
Oh, perfect.
I love it.
Wonderful. Chef's kiss. I reckon they're at least considering Alpha because of the whole Andrew Tate thing and how successful that has been with the younger crowd. So
Xbox
like,
is
I think that's a smart move.
Top G Xbox.
Hey, if Microsoft doesn't, you know, someone else will.
I love it. But I don't love the idea of them going discless. That I wouldn't mind the digital future if the publishers didn't try to fuck us by charging us more than what we can get it at retail, by having terrible return policies that are not forgiving at all. And yeah, of course, losing the ability of being able to trade in your old games to get new ones, that's a big detriment for gamers like me who like game on a budget, need to save a dollar here or there. There's definitely been times I've been able to buy games where I definitely wouldn't haven't been able to fit them into the budget if I hadn't traded them in. It's sucks to see. I hope that with things getting more digital, hopefully consumer law catches up to all this digital bullshit and starts actually forcing companies to follow the rules of the countries and not just give them slap on the wrist.
By the time
fines.
They catch up, AI will have already taken over. Like, they're very slow.
Humanity's already destroyed. But yeah, like the fact that it's cylindrical is obviously pretty wild. I'd like to think there was a guy in the office like tearing his hair out and being like, it's called an Xbox. We've lost sight of what we're all about.
Next box.
It's supposed to be a
the
box.
The next box.
Good.
Holy shit. That is good.
There you go. That's what it is. But they mention at the end there a more immersive controller. And I sent an image of that controller.
You mean one that doesn't break down?
Yeah, that's not the immersion.
That would be immersive enough. For their innovations that we need.
Well, I sent an image of the controller in the Discord chat there. The image of a controller codenamed Sebile or Sebile?
It's just a circle.
S-E-B-I-L-E?
Is it a sphere that you just hold in your hand? Please say yes.
Unfortunately not.
It's a sphere.
Look at the picture. It shows a two-toned color design and promises modular thumbsticks. And features that many a PlayStation fan have known for years now, like
it looks exactly the same as every other fucking controller.
But it's more immersive, Lockie. You're not listening. So to wake.
Right. Precision. Sorry, I'm clearly missing something. I'm an idiot.
It's gonna have lift to wake, precision haptic feedback, and an accelerometer.
Oh.
So
I don't need to press the start button anymore for it to start. I just need to pick it up and I'm good to go. Wow, look at them streamlining. Whatever. I don't know. I feel like they're very... this is like a very... Marketing was like basically us to resell an existing controller with absolutely no new features. That's what this reads as.
I don't know.
Doing their best. Approachability is how they describe it.
Torja, are you regretting your words saying that you'd never get an Xbox now?
Approachability! Ubiquity! Ubiquity! It's one of their features.
What?
It achieves ubiquity. I don't even know what that means.
What?
Yeah, I don't know what the fuck that means.
You
can play it with
I've
X
heard the
Cloud,
word, but I don't know what it means.
But you can already play X.
Hang on.
Cloud.
Fucking look this up. I need to know what this means because, like, I have no clue.
Well, maybe because it connects directly to the X Cloud or something. Because I remember when Stadia was still a thing and you could use a regular controller to work with Stadia, or you could get the Stadia controller that communicates directly to Stadia.
The fact of appearing everywhere or of being very common.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
This is marketing bullshit.
I know, but it's so pathetic. That was the best they could come up with because they were given literally nothing. All right. Yeah.
Well, let's be real. Great. This was never meant to see the light of day as well, too. This was like just their own shit to each other, but they're probably coming up with ideas on how to market it. But
tell me something. If we have been playing games with controllers in our hands, and this is a controller to use with your hands, how is it more immersive? What makes it more immersive?
So I think what they're talking about is purely just the same bullshit that Sony did with the DualSense. Because now they've got haptic feedback and all that shit. And
haptic feedback.
If you put that on there, you can call... Honestly, you can call whatever. The controller could, like, spit water at you and that's immersive. Like, whatever the fuck they want to do.
One of their points under immersion is literally quieter buttons and thumbsticks.
I'm sick of those click-clacking buttons always taking me out of the experience.
Yeah, it's just, I know, it just keeps taking me out. Finally.
I'm playing a horror game and I cannot be immersed because I hear the buttons.
Yep.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Approachability is... No, ubiquity is pretty bizarre. No, approachability. Because I have never thought... of a controller where I'm thinking to myself, you know what feature would make this controller better is a more approachable feature. Like, this controller is not approachable enough. It's really...
You cannot talk to him and he won't respond back. It's not approachable.
Same ergonomics as Merlin. I don't know what that means.
It's another controller, the Merlin.
Right. Yeah, okay. And that's what makes it approachable.
I guess.
Yeah, bizarre. I don't know. You're right, Zach. We're dumping on what was clearly also something that people had a good laugh about behind the scenes, and it never saw the light of day and was never meant to. So,
like, tech presentations are such bullshit. I find them so funny. Like, all these fancy words and, like, stuff that really looks good when you say it, but when you think about them, it's like nothing. It's blank.
They keep trying to sell you toilet paper and they're acting like they've innovated it somehow.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, it's still toilet paper.
Look, yous are absolutely right. And like,
softness quilting. Luxurious damask underpinned rolls.
You've hit the nail on the head. They're basically just trying to have more buzzwords that people can use on the retail floor to throw out there and hopefully get people over the line when they're trying to decide between an Xbox or a PlayStation, you know? Like, oh, you know, they've both got this many terabytes, but this one's got the adaptive triggers.
This one's approachable.
This one's approachable
and ubiquitous. That's what's going to put them over the edge.
Yeah, Xbox is gesturing at you from across the room, whereas Sony is being all aloof.
They should have said, like, stimulating, sensual.
All-inclusive?
Yeah.
All expenses paid.
All-inclusive, yeah.
Whatever.
All-inclusive. Does your taxes? I don't know. Tax deductible.
Well, if it does my taxes, I will buy it for sure.
Yeah, there you go.
Sensory stimulating. I don't know. We can come up with loads of different words.
Yeah. Orgasmically delicious.
Lots of them sexual. Yes, that community. Is right. Sensual feedback. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was it for the more interesting stuff from the big Xbox leak. There's a lot more out there. I recommend going and checking it out if you're interested in finding out about a bit more of the behind the scenes game shit that goes on. There's definitely some interesting stuff there. And speaking of interesting stuff, it's time to talk about the games that are coming up in the next week. And holy shit, just the deluge of games just keeps on coming. So this isn't technically a game, it's the expansion of already existing game. Cyberpunk 2077 Phantom Liberty is coming to PC, PS5 and Xbox Series X September 26th, but apparently the most recent update is already live, which is also for people who aren't getting the expansion. So if you already own the game, there's been a massive update and overhaul to a whole bunch of systems, and it's reviewing really, really well. So seems like finally Cyberpunk 2077 is a decent title, and you know, maybe it's a okay time to check it out if you feel like you're ready to forgive CD Projekt Red for their bullshit. I don't know. Harvest Moon: The Winds of Anthos is coming to every platform September 26th as well. Minico's Night Market is coming to PC and then all the consoles and stuff later on, also September 26th, the consoles and stuff on October 26th. Paleo Pines coming to all platforms September 26th. It's a simulation game. I don't know what the fuck that's about. Train Sim World 4 coming to everything except for Nintendo Switch, also September 26th. Disney Speedstorm coming to all platforms September 28th. It's leaving early access.
Oh, that's their Mario Kart ripoff. I bet you. $20.
In a title that I can't actually believe is real, but okay. Infinity Strash : Dragon Quest The Adventure Die, spelt D-A-I. They literally have trash in the title. They just put an S in front of it. Infinity Strash.
But is it a Dragon Quest game?
I don't, Fucking no.
I don't think so. It would have started with Dragon Quest at the beginning of all of that bullshit.
That's my point.
I'm guessing it's a spin-off.
I'm guessing it's a shitty cheap cash grab where they're trying to trigger that, invoke those brands in their title.
Infinity Strike.
And deceive people into purchasing their product.
It is from Dragon Quest. It's related to Dragon Quest. It is.
It must be a spin-off, right? It's probably not a normal title.
They should have started off with Dragon Quest then. They're shooting themselves in the foot.
The legendary Dragon Quest, the adventure of Dai manga and anime, arrives as an exhilarating action RPG.
All right, it's exhilarating, but is it ubiquitous? Because that's what I really want to know.
Well, it doesn't say ubiquitous here.
Yeah.
So. It's absolute strash, Lockie, okay? So don't even bother with it.
Strash.
Overpass 2 is coming to PC, PS5, and Xbox Series X. It's a racing game. Cocoon is coming to all platforms September 29th with a sequel, Butterfly, coming next year. Cypher 007 is coming to mobile September 29th. It's an action game or something. EA Sports FC is coming to all platforms also September 29th. So that's the FIFA game that isn't FIFA no more because they lost the FIFA license, but it's still exactly the same. Fate/Samurai Remnant. What the fuck? I don't know.
What PC, is this? PS4? This week of weird named games.
That's probably also a Dragon Quest spin-off as well. They're releasing two competing products in the same week.
Well, that's coming to everything except for Xbox platforms. Also, September 29th. I know there was a lot of games that I've just read off there, Torja, but did any of those stand out to you?
Well, Harvest Moon, maybe. That's it.
There you go. All right. Yeah, Harvest Moon has a good rapper about it. Farm sim game?
Yeah, but Harvest Moon made me a bit confused because I always heard about Harvest Moon and I was like, well, I would like to play this game. And I think it's called Story of Seasons here. And I know about Story of Seasons, like it was on Game Pass, I think, and I didn't play it because I didn't know it was Harvest Moon. But yeah, it has a different name in different parts of the world, I guess.
Oh, okay, that's interesting.
Is it like a farming sim? Is that what it is?
Yeah. I was actually going to talk about it later on reviews, but because I haven't played it, but I played Stardew Valley, which was heavily inspired on Harvest Moon. Harvest Moon was the one that started it all. Yeah, that genre.
Whenever I hear moon in a title, I think it's a story about werewolves. Are there werewolves in Harvest Moon? Or Stardew Valley?
Not in Stardew Valley, not that I know of. I don't know about Harvest Moon.
Yeah, in the game that you haven't played yet, you just said you hadn't played in it. Yeah, are there werewolves? That's all I need to know.
Well, maybe. If that makes you want to play the game, maybe you should try it out, Lockie. I know you love that genre of games.
Well, it's certainly what made The Quarry a hell of a lot more interesting than I was thinking it was going to be. So,
Did Michael J. Fox play basketball?
Oh, like Teen Wolf.
Isn't that was him, right?
Ah, yeah, yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, yeah, that was him, Teen Wolf.
There you go.
Wait, yes. Oh my god. Because there was a second one, and I think it was basically the same movie as well, Teen Wolf 2.
There you go. Whoa.
So, not a video game podcast anymore.
No. This happens all the time. But speaking of video game podcasts, Lockie, any of those stand out to you?
Probably Harvest Moon, but I'm not interested in playing it. So, like, that's kind of all I have to add to that. I don't know. A lot of them... Look, at the end of the day, I may not be giving these games a fair shake, but they didn't sound very good.
Yeah, like...
Especially the Dragon Quest one. Nausea ad infinitum Dragon Quest... A Star
like,
is Born.
The name of a product is super important. And like these just... We hear the names and we just don't want to play them.
Exactly. You want to hear something like a little bit more ubiquitous.
Exactly. You know? Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Look, I'm glad that one of the games here is just straight up putting trash in the title so we know exactly what we're getting. At least they're being a bit more upfront about
it. They should have called it Struth.
Look, I think for me, out of all this stuff here, if I wasn't just balls deep in so many amazing video games right now, then the one I'd be picking up is Cyberpunk DLC for sure. Because I, despite Cyberpunk's massive, massive amount of issues, I still had a good time with it when it wasn't crashing on me or bugging the fuck out. So the thoughts that I can dive into a better version of it with a bit of Idris Elba.
Keanu
and Idris Elba whispering in my earlobes holes. Mm-hmm. You don't whisper in lobes, that makes no sense, but ear holes. Sounds lovely. I think many a person would pay a lot of good money for that.
Yeah, you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, but God, Starfield, too busy with that. Baldur's Gate 3, way too busy with that. So it's going to be one of those ones I pick up when I have a fucking spare moment. And speaking of having a spare moment, should we take a brief break and then we'll jump back on in with the games that we've been playing? Torja, you are our guest. It is tradition on News to Reviews for our guest to get us kicked off with impressions. What have you been playing this week, my friend?
So, I've been playing a very chill game that I've played many, many times before, which is not very common for me, which is called Stardew Valley. Pokemon 2. Oh, good. That's a good one. That's one of the ones I still play, but nah.
Yeah,
this time it was Stardew Valley.
Who can't resist a good old Pokemon game?
And Stardew Valley, I feel like everyone knows what it is about at this point, but it was a game developed that came out in 2016. It was developed by a solo game dev, which is called Concerned Ape. And it's, I don't really like to call it a farming simulator because that reminds me of Farmville, and it's nothing like that. It's so much more.
Yeah, it makes it sound like shit, doesn't it?
Yeah. But
farming sim. Ooh.
This is like the
what
farming.
About Fantasy Farm Emporium.
That sounds fancier. It's an ubiquitous farm game. But
I'm trying not to scream into the mic.
But yeah, like it has the farming part, it has fishing, it has a social part and mining and combat. So it's not just a farm game. If you don't like farming, you don't really have to do it. It's like a small part of what I do. And yeah, it's a game that had lots of success. Everyone loves it. It's still being updated up to this point, and there's there's an update coming out soon, which doesn't have a release date yet. It's update 1.6. And yeah, even though the dev is already working on a new game, it still comes up with new updates and new stuff, new patches for this one. And I don't know if I should like get more into the specifics of it, because I feel like everyone knows this by now. But yeah, amazing game. I love it.
Okay, like, what are you playing it on, PC?
Yeah, on PC, on Steam.
Yeah, nice. You got me into Stardew Valley when you were here in Australia, and I had a lot of fun with it. I can't remember. I picked it up on Switch, and I can't remember why I put it down. I think I fucked up something really badly, and I just couldn't figure out.
You can't really fuck up things in Stardew Valley.
I don't know. Like, I did something, or maybe it got to, I think it got to winter, and I got bored in the caves or whatever, and I wasn't.
Yeah,
I don't know. I kind of lost sight of what I was supposed to be doing or something, and I just like forgot about it.
Winter came round, you starved to death because your farm was not.
Yeah, but there's such
nourished or something.
So many more.
You didn't upgrade your silo grains.
Yeah, you cannot farm and. In winter, unless you have a greenhouse, you cannot plant crops. But lots of other different things that you can do. Yeah. But yeah, it's definitely one of those
games.
You
can hunt for meat, I'm assuming, right?
You can kill monsters, and some of them give you meat or other monster loot.
Monster meat.
Yeah. Mm. And but yeah, it's definitely one of those games.
Can you dine on man flesh?
I don't think so. But I haven't played it till the end. So.
Not even when you go into werewolf mode? Wouldn't you be going after the villagers?
That would be a nice DLC. Maybe there's a mod that allows you to turn into a werewolf or something.
Yeah. Moon also can invoke vampire imagery, so you could be a vampire as well. I don't...
Yeah.
It's wide open.
Yeah.
You're thinking of Harvest Moon anyway. Anyway, Lockie.
Yeah, but if you added blood into it, Blood Moon Harvest, doesn't that just scream vampires?
Maybe we can have both of them.
Look, whether there is vampire and werewolf DLC in Stardew Valley or not, I think it's one of those ones I do want to pick up again at some stage. Like, mm-hmm. it's a pretty perfect Switch game, you know, you can chill out and play it whilst you're doing something else, and it is just so chill and relaxing. I remember for a while I was obsessed with it, even the farming side of it. I just found it super satisfying, but I don't know, I need to wait till there isn't a bajillion things to play. But I'd be curious to see what's changed over the last few years. I think when I played it didn't even have multiplayer yet.
Yeah, it has multiplayer now. I haven't tried it, but yeah, it's like playing Stardew Valley, but with friends. It's literally what it is. So you can one of them can stay in the farm, I guess, and the other one goes to the caves. I guess it works like that. But it has
one looks after the kids and
exactly. But you can actually have a relationship and a family in this game. So that's actually a part of it.
Bring the kid along with you. They can. Mind the smaller problem.
The children yearn for the mines. Yes.
Yeah.
But yeah, there have been some quality of life changes, new areas, probably since you played. Yeah, and they're planning to add more stuff. In 1.6, it's supposedly there's a new festival. There's going to be a new festival. It's going to be more moddable, the whole game. Some bug fixes, as always. There's going to be new dialogues, new items. This is what Concerned Ape wrote in a Twitter post. I guess it was still Twitter when this came out. Some secrets, and he also put some question marks, like there's something that is secret that I'm not going to tell you, but it's going to be a big thing.
Ooh, speaking vampires.
So yeah, it's fun.
A bit of man meat. Mm.
Maybe it's the vampires and werewolves.
Tonight we dine on man flesh. Nice. That meat is not for eating.
Oh, and by the way, Lucky, since you spoke about Pokemon, there's actually a game that came out, I think, some days ago called Moonstone Island, which is like Stardew Valley, but also deck building and collecting monsters. So it's kind of a mix between Stardew Valley and Pokemon.
Ooh.
And
I'm interested in that.
What's it called? Moonrise Island.
Moonstone Island.
Moonstone. Moonstone. Oh, is there werewolves in that?
Probably.
No, there's Clefairy, though. They evolve into Clefable as soon as they step on the island.
Well, that looks cute.
Yeah, it looks cute. I like the... Yeah, all right. I'm digging it.
Yeah.
I might pick this up. Very positive. Came out, dropped on 21 cents. Why doesn't this shit ever get advertised in the featured store? These are the type of games I want advertised to me. But instead, it's always fucking Guild Wars.
I think you guys spoke about it, like, the upcoming games 1 week two ago.
Oh, I have the memory of a goldfish.
Yeah, and if you don't know the name, it's normal that you don't memorize it. So, yeah.
Yeah, this looks good. I'll probably pick this one.
How much was it on Steam, Lockie?
$18.
So it'd probably be around what, 25, 30 Australian, something like that. I'm guessing.
Yeah, they got a sale as well, 10% off, 26.55 AUD.
That's cheap for any game, really.
Yeah. If it's yeah.
What are the reviews like on Steam? Mostly positive we got?
Yeah, review. Yep, very positive. 86% of over 400 user reviews for it. And it was only released a couple of days ago, and it's a pretty indie-ish game.
Yeah.
I didn't see it featured in any paid marketing on the Steam store, so
I've seen a review.
That bodes well for it.
I know it's a review, but they were saying it's a pretty solid game. And it was from a person that doesn't even really like farming games. So he was like, well, I don't like that aspect of it. And I'm still really enjoying the game. So I can't remember the name. Sorry. The name of the
Moonstone Island. 83% on OpenCritic. Yeah, 9 out of 10 on Steam. Yeah,
one of the negative comments, one of the negative reviews is sometime mine screen got blackout 5 question marks.
Oh yeah, no, that's a big that's a big hindrance.
Yeah, so that's a big red flag if if
mine
that resonates
screen
with
turned
you
black.
You fucking I don't know, maybe their monitor just stopped working, like I don't even know if that's the game's fault. But anyway, yeah, you may,
fair enough.
Mileage may vary.
Well, I've played a video game. It's called Starfield, but I'm not going to talk about that. I've played another game. It's called Baldur's Gate 3, but I'm not going to talk about that either.
Oh, good.
The one I am going to talk about that I managed to fit in this week. I had a day off because I was, my belly was doing some shit. Making my bum also do a lot of shit, and it wasn't good.
Ooh.
So, day off. So, I got to play Superliminal. Now, when I played Viewfinder a few months ago, or however fucking long ago that was, people who've listened to that episode will know, I loved it. I had a great time. I thought the mechanic was so interesting and awesome, and pretty much anyone who had ears and played video games, I was going, play Viewfinder, do it, then say to me that you liked it, please. And there's demos for it, so a lot of people could check it out. But the thing I kept hearing back to everyone that I recommended to play Viewfinder is, you got to play Superliminal. I'm like, all right, I fucking get it. So I bought it on the PlayStation Store. It was on special. Oh, fuck, how much was it? I think it was like $20 or something. Maybe like, I think around that. I think normally it's like 30. I should really double check this. But I realized after I picked it up on the PlayStation Store, I got to borrow Aaron's Xbox Series S to play Starfield, and on there, on Game Pass, is Superliminal.
So
I did not need to purchase this game.
Always check Game Pass before you buy a game. You should know this.
Check it out right now.
I could have played it the entire time on PC as well, too. So, yeah. Very, very silly by me there. But anyway, I'm not upset that I paid for it because I had such an amazing time with it. I'm happy to help these developers. I'm guessing they're probably indie developers because this is
a funky puzzle game.
Yeah, it's a very small scale game. So
I'm going to pause the download. I started downloading instinctively and that's going to fuck with the stream. Right. Okay. Sorry. Please continue.
Look, as I mentioned before, I really, really love Viewfinder what Superliminal does that is similar.
Thank you.
Similar to Viewfinder is it's a perspective based puzzle game. So, and this one, God, it gives me a lot of Portal vibes, a lot of Stanley Parable vibes, in that you're in this sort of bland office environment, but they're fucking with you with perspective and wacky shit, and it's got like this very funny tone with the speakers coming through and speaking to you as you experience different things. You've got like a British narrator voice, very much like what you get in
Stanley Parable.
Yeah. As well as like another lady voice that is more like AI style, but comes out with lots of very good cracking jokes. And the
very Portal. Yep.
Exactly. Yeah. There you go. The idea of it is you're in a machine where you can have like dream experiences, I think, because you need to help relax or something. God, I'm doing a bad job of describing it. But
well, I cannot help you, I don't remember anymore.
Yeah. Well, I guess it's sort of supposed to be, but
the story is not the point of the game.
Exactly.
Puzzle mindfuck game. You enjoy getting you know, mind freaked on.
It's amazing.
If you watch a lot of David Blaine, Chris Angel. Chris Angel is who I was thinking of.
Get absolutely mind-freaking.
David Blaine's part of the Pussy Posse. With Leonardo DiCaprio.
And I got absolutely mind-freaked by Superliminal. I end up playing it all in one session. It's a little bit shorter than Viewfinder. Viewfinder took me about 4 hours. This took me about 3. And initially, when I started playing it, I was like, oh, you know, this is a cool mechanic. You know, based on where you hold an item, it will sort of shift based on that perspective, so you can basically enhance the size of items or make them smaller with perspective, a lot like what men try to do with dick pics. You know, it's all about perspective and angles and stuff like that.
Well, a trick there is shaving it down will pretty much add a couple of centimeters.
If you haven't shaved your balls, lads, you got some just unused inches sitting right there.
Exactly, you've got some inches. You're going to go up an inch, and yeah, it's pretty cool.
News to reviews, always giving good dick advice.
That's it. Manscaped, sponsor us, please. Come on, shave your balls, lads.
Oh,
it's
please.
Good for everybody. Anyway.
It's good advice. I think it's good for men's mental health, to be honest.
I've got an extra pep in my step when I've got a fresh shaved sack, that's for sure.
Yeah, when you genuinely feel like your dick's gotten bigger, like, that does put you in a good mood.
It's that confidence of knowing that if you get dacked, at least you're going to look nice and tidy down there, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. For people who don't know, dacked, I believe, is an Australian expression for having your pants pulled down, which no one should ever do to anyone without consent. Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you for saying
that. I think it definitely needed to be said.
Good.
And what else needs to be said is my thoughts on Superliminal. Now, at first, I wasn't too impressed with that mechanic. I was like, oh, I like it. I think it's cool. But I'm finding all the puzzles super easy, and I just found the mechanic cooler in Viewfinder, of the thing where you're taking the photo and placing that over in the world. It was just infinitely more interesting to me. But then as the game progresses, they start doing some crazier and crazier shit with perspective, and your abilities sort of change a little bit to fit with these different puzzles. And through that, it just kept it forever super entertaining, doing some really, really cool visual shit, particularly towards the end. The last sequence is just fucking mind-blowing. My brain was coming out of my ears during that final 20 minutes, half an hour. And yeah, by the end of it, I had such an amazing time, such a good experience. I didn't want to put it down for that entire sitting, and I absolutely loved it. And by the end, I don't know if I like Viewfinder better or Superliminal. I think maybe Viewfinder still inches it out for me. I just love that mechanic so much. And the story probably comes together a little bit better, but yeah, holy shit. Superliminal's fucking amazing. If you have Game Pass and you like puzzle games and any of this cool perspective, mind-blowing shit vibes with you, you'd be crazy not to check out Superliminal. And if you like Superliminal, fucking please check out Viewfinder, because I fucking love that game. This is so good. It's really, really good. But yeah.
I like... you know what I like? I like Super Mario. And I think we're getting a new Super Mario game coming out soon with an elephant, so that's exciting.
That is true, Lockie. That is true.
And that is my review for News to Reviews.
Hey, right.
Did you ever get stuck on a level, Zach? Because I remember when I played it, there was a part where I was like bumping my head on the wall.
See, I found that in Viewfinder. I think there was just maybe one puzzle that I spent maybe at most like 10 minutes on, and then I figured it out. I was like, oh, okay. Fuck, how did I not figure that out sooner? Yeah. But for Classic. Me, I did find it easier than Viewfinder, but still, it was challenging enough that each time I solved one, I'd be like, I'm a smart fella.
Yeah.
I feel like a smart lad. And it does, it definitely makes you think outside the box. I think just only for the reasons of I've played Maquette, which has a similar mechanic with perspective, and Viewfinder.
Not machete,
no. I think because I've played both of those, I kind of know what I'm doing with these kinds of perspective mm-hmm. puzzle games. But even with that being said, this is far better than Maquette. I wasn't the biggest fan of Maquette. Superliminal does it way better. And Viewfinder is also fucking amazing. Oh, yeah, and Superliminal, I'll give it a review score because I've completed it. And I'll give it 25 fucking alarm clocks out of 27 time loops. There we go. I really, really, really loved Superliminal. Yeah, definitely check it out. Yes. And if you have Game Pass, fuck, you own it already if you already have Game Pass. So it's definitely worth checking out.
There's another puzzle game that also has some bits of perspective mechanics that I really, really enjoyed that I played years ago, which is called Antichamber. It's like the visuals are no place similar to Superliminal. It's like very black and white with some colors, mm-hmm. but it has lots of puzzles and perspective puzzles, and I had such a good time. So if you like those kinds of games, I would advise you to try out Antichamber. And they also have...
Antichamber has 10 out of 10 on Steam. And God, it's 10 years old. It came out in 2013.
There you go. That's a lot of 10s.
I love that it's like a weird, almost becoming a weird little genre of their own. There's a whole bunch of these perspective-based puzzle games. I'll definitely check out Antichamber now because clearly it must have been the one that started... all of this, unless there's others going even further back that we don't know about. But yeah, big thanks to everyone out there who screamed at me to play Superliminal when I was talking about Viewfinder, because it was a lot of fun.
It's very Labyrinth, M.C. Escher.
Yeah,
you know, stairs going nowhere, upside down, sort of. Yeah, interesting. I think I'll pick this one up as well.
It has more to it than Superliminal. Like, it has different mechanics. And it's a little bit longer, if I remember correctly. But it's amazing. I really loved it.
Mm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, speaking of puzzle games, Torja, what else have you been playing?
Well, if you want a game that can leave you feeling super like a genius, but also like a dumb fuck, you should play Baba Is You.
Ooh, we got another mind freak, do we?
It's a fucked up game. Like, the mechanics are fucked up. So it's a logic puzzle game, and you control the top down with individual levels, and you control a little dude called Baba. Most of the times, because that can also change.
I get it, because Baba is you. There you go.
Baba is you, not that Baba Yaga.
But is this about the Baba Yaga?
Oh, I have no idea. I don't know. Okay.
Did I spoil the ending?
No, I don't think it has anything to do with that.
Okay. All right, excellent. Overwhelmingly positive. 98% of user reviews for this game are positive.
Yeah, so what... You control that little dude, and you have conditions on the screen, words on the screen, like rock is push, or Baba is you, or like little words that you can arrange around. And those are the rules for that game. So if you go to Baba is you, and you push Baba, and you put rock instead, then you start controlling the rock instead of Baba. And you can change the rules of the game in that way. You just have to be careful to... There must always be something connected to something is you. Otherwise, you lose control and the game... Like, you lose the game. It's a fucked up game. It's hard to explain. But it really gives you... Like, sometimes you feel like you're just breaking the game in the way how you're solving it. But it's just... all a part of it. So usually you have to go for a flag or something. You have to touch a flag because the flag is the win condition. And you have to like change the conditions around, like For instance, you can have a rock is stop and you cannot like go over the rock. But if you change stop to a different thing, or if you just disconnect the stop from the rest of the sentence, then it changes and you, and the rock no longer makes you stop. So you can go through it or something like that. And goddamn, it made me feel such a dumb person. But then, like, you put it down for a bit, and then you come back to it, and then you realize what you were thinking that was wrong, or you realize a new way of like trying to go for the win, and you feel really smart. And I've heard about game years ago, and I've always felt interested in it. And I was like, yeah, it's a good price. Let's just buy it and try it. But it's one of those that it's not for everyone. It can be really frustrating at times. And it's not a game that I can play like for hours.
Yeah, because it definitely requires you to think. So yeah. It's probably not like it's not like a chill out game. It's like, you need to be awake for this one.
Yeah.
The way that you described it made sense to me, Torja, but then I'm looking at gameplay and I just have no fucking clue what's happening right
what's
now.
Happening?
I just see characters just pushing shit around, basically.
It's basically word puzzles, and rearranging them will change the physics of the world around you.
Exactly. You make the rules.
Including the characters you might be able to control.
You can change the rules of that particular level with what you push around and what conditions you make. I was going to say that I'm not sure if I'm explaining it correctly because it's a really hard thing to like put in words how it works.
Oh, yeah.
But just try to look at some gameplay and just keep in mind that the conditions you see. So Zach, what do you see on the screen? You may see probably Baba is you, or Baba is, or Rock is you, and something
is
push.
Key is push and open.
So push means that you can push that item. So usually you have the word for key, and then you have the picture of a key somewhere.
Yeah.
And if you have a condition key is push, it means that you can just go to the key image and push it around.
Yeah. The way you explain it makes sense, but yeah, when you see it in motion, it doesn't.
It's weird.
Translate. It's weird. So yeah, I get what you mean. That is a hard thing to put into words. Though I think you did a good job of that. Now, look, one thing that stands out to me, and look, I haven't played this game. I shouldn't shit on it, but it's a thing that kind of made me give up on Loop Hero really quickly, and it's just got that fucking ugly ass ancient art style, and it's like, look, I don't know, it's
basic pixel.
I can take pixel art, but like this is like fucking, you know, 80s style or earlier pixel art. It's very like, it's like, think Loop Hero. It's it very, very much gives Loop Hero.
I think you need to open your mind and heart to a 98% positivity.
Exactly.
Overwhelming positive.
Everyone loves Loop Hero too, right?
I loved Loop Hero. Yeah, I played Loop Hero for a while.
I'm finding you overwhelmingly out of touch.
Yeah,
I know what you're saying, but it really doesn't bother me. And this game was created for a game jam in 2017, so it was like, oh, we really need to do this game very quickly. And then it was fully released. It won the game jam, the Nordic game jam, and then it was actually released in 2019. And it's, from what I've heard, it's like a staple of the genre. Like, there's nothing like it. Nothing else like it.
Hmm.
So, yeah, give it a try if you can.
Okay. Nice. Have you finished Baba Is You?
Oh, no. I haven't played, like, long hours. But, like, if you play some levels, you get what the game is about. But there's, because for a review score, I'm not sure why I don't want to give it a fully 100% review, but maybe a 9 out of 10. I don't know why I don't want to give it a perfect score, because I really have nothing negative to say about it, but it's not a game for everyone.
It's all right. It's not scratching that 10 out of 10 itch.
Yeah. It's something that I can play for a small amount of time and really enjoy it. And it's a really well-made game. I can't imagine the debugging of this has to be a nightmare, because you can, like, break the levels in such a heavy way that, it's a really clever game. 9 out of 10.
Yeah, being able to think out all those variables and code in, is impressive.
And look, I don't think graphics are the most important thing to a video game. It's just like, I think for me, this one just looks a little bit too old. But I'm in the minority. Everyone I've heard talk about this loves it and says that just the mechanics is just so mind-bending and interesting. And as you said, Torja, nothing else like it. And I think for that alone, it's definitely worth people's time. Apparently, it's roughly 7.5 hours to finish it if you're sort of just mainlining it. But if you want to be a completionist and obtain 100%, it's like 47 hours. So it's kind of as in-depth as you want it to be, I guess. I don't know. Maybe there's an end game. I don't know. I don't know how it gets to 47 hours. Yeah.
Oh, by the way, solo dev again. So I've been playing solo dev games. Yeah, it's one dev. He goes by the name of Hempuli, I guess, his work name. And amazing job.
Fuck yeah. And you know what else was an amazing job? Having you on this podcast, Torja. You were fantastic. That was absolutely awesome. It's always fun to get you back on the show. We've had you on so many times and it's so good that we're getting you back on every couple of months or so once again.
It's super fun.
Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me once again. I want to keep doing this. This is amazing.
Yeah, God, we talked about some bloody good puzzle games, didn't we? Holy shit. We covered so many puzzle games. People, if you love puzzle games, you have a lot of ideas.
And we never cover puzzle games.
Yeah.
Absolutely, Lockie. Yeah, we don't cover them enough, do we?
No. Well, I mean, it's not just our fault. Puzzle games sort of, come out pretty sporadically, but I think it's wonderful that we're able to really smash a couple. And none of them looked like that lame-ass Mario versus Donkey Kong crap that they're releasing.
Oh, dear. Lockie pissing off the Xbox fans and the Nintendo fans in this episode. Yeah. Can you say something to piss off the Sony fans as well too? I don't know. God of War's overrated, maybe. That's a good one. I'm not saying that. Lockie's saying
that. No, I'm not interested in the upcoming Spider-Man 2.
Oh, yeah. People would hate that.
How do you fucking... Yeah, how do you like that? I'm not going to play it. I'm not interested in it.
Yeah, that's a bad
opinion. The blasphemy.
That's just...
Spider-Man what? No. Yeah, no.
Well, if you hate Lockie's opinions, leave a rating or review wherever you happen to be listening to the podcast.
But only in the positive. Regardless of what you think about my opinions, voice them in your review, but leave good stars because we need it.
Oh, yes, we do.
You want to keep hearing us?
Oh, dearie me, we definitely need all the help that we can get. And you know what always helps me, Lockie? Hearing your final words of wisdom. What do you got for us this week?
Oh, fuck. Well, when you think about it, life is kind of like the greatest puzzle game of all that we'll never truly solve.
Can I add something to that?
Yep.
But life is ubiquitous.
Yes. Everyone out there,
that was good.
Keep being ubiquitous and take care of yourselves and take care of one another.
If I say una momentito, por favore, does that actually mean anything?
We can understand what that means. Yeah, it's not like perfect grammar, but it should be un momento, por favor.
Oh, okay.
Momentito is a little moment.
Instead of una, un momento, por per favor. Is it par or per favore?
Pud.
Pud.
And if you want to say, can I please have a glass of water, you say, Volta precona de tormai.
Is that true?
Yeah, that's, no. I want a glass of water in Portuguese. You should say it to all the Brazilian people you know. Yes.
Is it like a dirty thing?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Go what back to your mum's cunt.
It sounds so lovely. honestly, it sounded like such a lovely thing hearing it. I was like, oh, if someone said that to me, I'd be like, oh.
That's probably the only thing that Zach knows how to say in Portuguese. It's the only thing that he memorized. No thank yous, no, you're welcome.
Puta, is that whore?
Please, no.
Oh, puta, yeah.
Puta is whore.
Puta is pussy, isn't it?
No, whore.
Whore, oh. Oh, because puttana in Italian is whore.
Yeah.